May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, we also rejoice in the arrival of the Magi on their visit to Jesus. And we also wave a liturgical magic wand, compressing roughly 2 to 3 years of Jesus' life into just under 2 weeks. And this Feast of the Epiphany, it predates Christmas as the principal feast marking the incarnation of our Lord. But with the widespread adoption of Christmas in the early church, it was quickly incorporated into a 12-day season to mark both Christ's birth as well as his revelation to the Gentiles with the coming of the Magi. Alongside this developing liturgical tradition also came a developing theological tradition. The Gospel of Matthew, in which we find our story of the Magi's visit, or wise men, as we often call them, we do not actually see any account of how many of them actually arrived. Most likely, these visitors included a full embassy-style retinue, including a ceremonial guard, servants, animals, and court officials alongside the Magi, who were less kings and more scholar ambassadors with a delegated but limited royal powers that were fitting to their task at hand, which was to honor whom they believed was a neighboring kingdom's royal seed that was being born. And so they brought gifts fitting for the occasion: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which were highly prized and very rare at the time. But this story's purpose in Matthew's gospel is primarily to underscore that Jesus is to be seen as the Messiah, not just for Jews, but for Gentiles too, as well as to show from the very beginning, citing Herod and his slaughter of the holy innocents, which luckily for us is not included in our selection of the gospel reading this evening, that Jesus was rejected by those whom he came to save. So the idea of three being the number of Magi, their names, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar, which you may have heard, they're representing different races of Gentiles, commonly seen as Arab, Persian, and Indian, plus any of the symbolism in the gifts pertaining to Christ's ministry as the Messianic King, God in the flesh, and the ultimate sacrifice. All of these things developed later in the early church. In fact, just to point out a difference already in the beginning, in some of the Syriac churches held that there were 12 Magi, another good biblical number. It is most likely that the mention of the three specific gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh ended up being the launch pad for these later pious traditions. And whether or not we accept the historicity of Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar, or embrace any particular symbolism in these gifts, we can embrace Christ is for all people, the Jew and Gentile alike, that his rescuing purposes include his reign, his deity, and his sacrificial atonement, and that the following, but perhaps trite cliche, is nevertheless true: wise men still seek him. So, how might we wisely seek Jesus this Epiphany? Well, the prophet Isaiah suggests, first off, wake up, arise, shine, for your light has come. Jesus comes into the midst of the darkness of our lives and is shining his everlasting light so that we might first see him and then follow him. In following Jesus, we will see miracles, we will be healed, we will be fed, but we will also walk the way of the cross, suffering alongside him, but then ultimately be raised with him into everlasting glory to reign with him in the new heavens and new earth. After we wake up to see Jesus, We should take a cue from the psalmist and honor him appropriately. Jesus is worthy of all worship. Now, I love Handel's Messiah and its use of those throne room passages from the book of Revelation. Blessing and glory, honor and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. We get a sense of the majesty, joy, and breadth of Christ's glory in eternity, lifting us up from earth to heaven in order to see that heaven has come down to earth in the Word made flesh. So we do well to worship Jesus with a heart overcome by the sheer awe and wonder that his incarnation rightly inspires. Having awakened and worshiped our Lord, we can then take a cue from St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians to believe and preach the gospel. In his wonder over the magnitude of Christ's appearing and his work among humanity, Paul is excited. He's convinced that what Jesus has done in coming among us and bringing God's saving purposes to pass is nothing short of miraculous. So he wants to tell the whole world about it. In fact, he is bold and confident in approaching God as well as neighbor. He believes with passion, and he shares the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ with equal fervor. Are you that fervent in your embrace and sharing of the gospel? As Christ's light shines into your hearts this Epiphany. And finally, we can follow the example of the Magi. They gave the most costly of gifts to Jesus. Now, I know Somerset's jobless economy, where most would be happy to have full-time employment instead of cobbling together a few minimum wage jobs to get by. $15 an hour? That's a pipe dream to those who've never even seen $10 an hour. But perhaps more important than money is our willingness to give our best. We might be the little drummer boy only able to play our drum for him, but we should play it nonetheless and with vigor. But before you think too little of the gifts that God has already given you, ask yourself these questions. Do I devote regular quality prayer time savoring the Spirit's presence, or just shoot up an occasional emergency prayer request? Am I fearful to branch out and test a vocation where the Spirit might be calling, instead of being open to new ways of service that might involve uncomfortable risk, meeting strangers, failure, rejection? Do I grudgingly offer my time to help those out of a sense of duty, or am I inspired to serve, expecting to see Jesus in the faces of those I reach out to in love? Am I giving the equivalent of pocket change to church and charity commensurate to my income, forgetting that Jesus reminds us that to whom much is given, much is required? This Epiphany, Jesus deserves the very best of our time, talent, and treasure. Wake up to see where Jesus is in your life. Worship the incarnate Lord with all the joy and wonder that Jesus deserves. Receive and spread the good news with passion, and give God your very best in all things. I can guarantee if you do, your life will shine with all the brightness and light and love of Jesus Christ, and other wise men and women will want to seek him alongside you. Let us pray. Light of the world, shine in our darkness. Awaken us to see you. Inspire us to worship you. Sit our hearts ablaze with the truth of the gospel, that others might find light and warmth in our testimony. and motivate us to give you our best for the joy set before us. Grant this, we ask, in your glorious name. Amen.